It's read out at funerals mostly, which has always intrigues me why certain things are just read out. The Lord is my shepherd is an everyday event, and not just a funeral like reading. And 1 Corinthians 13 is not just for weddings. It's an everyday occurrence. And this is another one of these things. And you may find yourself in one of these situations. And just know this, that God has an appointed time for everything. And it says here that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep. This is where I want us to catch this morning. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. You might be in any one of those situations right now, and just know that God is in it with you. But I really felt that the Lord put on my heart that whole little part, verse 4 actually is, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. That there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time for mourning. And Jesus said this, that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So if you're in the moment of mourning, that you will be comforted. You just allow the Lord to put his arms around you, and he will see you right. He will see you through whatever that mourning is. And there is a process of mourning. There is a process of grieving. No matter what you're mourning for or over or grieving for, there is a process to go through. Now, when we go through a process, some of the reason why we don't move on in a process, and especially in the death of a loved one, or we're mourning a loved one, or a relationship, or we can be grieving and mourning an ending of a friendship, or a relationship with a person. And people grieve over job loss, over business loss, over marriage loss, over a loved animal loss. People grieve when they're moving home and mourn when they're moving a country. And you might be in the process of that. And here's the thing, go through the process. Some people, especially when it involves other people, whether it's a loss of a loved one or a relationship, that we think by letting go that we're actually disrespecting the person that we lost. But moving through your process is actually not disrespecting the person. In fact, it's honoring the person when you allow yourself to go through the process. And we know, or it's been revealed by psychiatrists for years and years, that the five steps of processing of mourning is denial and isolation, anger. Even at the one that is lost, why did you have to go? I wouldn't feel this pain. Bargaining, depression. And then it comes full circle when we go into acceptance of what's after happening. And God knows this stuff. And the Lord knows where we're at any given moment. But I want to encourage us today that there is a time of mourning. And as we go through the period of mourning, that we have to know and be released that there's a time of laughing again. At a time of weeping, there's also a time of dancing. Well, it's actually, it's equated with weeping and laughing and mourning and dancing. Moses died. And the people of Israel. Moses was 120 when he died. Incredible. It says that his eyesight wasn't dimmed. And his body was as vigorous as it was when he was a young fella. God brought him up the mountain, Mount Nebo. And God buried him. If God ever asks you to go up the mountain on a walk, and the people mourned, and they went through the mourning period. They went through a process because it's proper. It's right. You come out healthy. And then he speaks to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, Moses is dead. Arise and go. Arise and move on. Moses is dead. But there's a promised land waiting. The morning is here, but there's a dancing to happen. The weeping is here, the wailing is here, but there's a laughing to happen. Now get up, arise. And some of us need permission this morning. And I believe under a mandate of God, I'm giving it to you to arise and to move on. You've done your mourning, you've done your period of process of mourning. You could be mourning regrets that you have. It's time to get up. You could be mourning mistakes that you've made. You should be living in shoulda, woulda, couldas. I should have done more. I could have done this. I would have done that if the situation was only changed. You might be in the place of mourning and weeping over failures, wrong decisions. We all have to. We all go through a time of mourning and regretting what we've said or done or should have done or should have said. But there's a time to move on. There's a time to arise. There's a time to go over the river. There's a time to start entering into your future as it was with Joshua. David loved Saul in spite of King Saul in the Bible wanting to kill David. David could have killed him in the cave. And he refused to allow any of his men to kill Saul. And when Saul comes out of the cave and he's up on the hill, David comes out. And you know what he calls him? He doesn't call him Saul. He says, Father. He had such an affection for him. Father, why are you trying to kill me? And Saul called him son. Then still tried to kill him later on. And when Saul died, Samuel, who... the prophet that anointed Saul to be king was mourning Saul. And God speaks to him. And he allowed him have his time of mourning because he always does. He said, Saul, or Samuel, get up, take the olive oil. Take the anointing oil and go. God is saying, yeah, I've let you go through your process. I've let you feel because God is not a God of denial. I've let you even get angry. I've let you sit in your own depression, even a situational depression for this situation. But now it's time to get up. It's time to get up and stop mourning Saul for his mistakes. How long will you mourn, he said? How long will you stay here? How long will you beat yourself up? How long will you live in other people's mistakes, other people's problems, other people's attitudes, other people's opinion of you? He says, now get up and move. There's a new season. There's a new king. There's a new deliverer. There's a new one warrior who will stand and fight. There's a new person coming into the situation that has my heart for the nation. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time to weep. And there is a time to mourn. But there's also a time to laugh. And there's also a time to dance. And when we have Jesus, he turns our mourning into dancing. He turns our weeping into laughter again. He turns our minuses to pluses, our negatives to pluses, and our curses into blessings. This year's been the beginning of the year, a year of mourning. In many ways, I know in our world, myself and Sharon's, we had 7 major people in our world that we were connected to in various levels die. And again, March or something, I was like, I'm sick of talking about death. I'm sick of talking. I'm sick of mourning. One of them was, as you know, was my brother. Since he was 12 years of age, he took drugs. My youngest brother, 45 years of age, he's walking across the road just in January. And his body gives up and says, enough, and he dies. Funny enough, I was actually, after leaving my daughter Erica at the church, she was on worship practice, I left her there and went home to get ready for church. And it was in that period that my brother was lying on the same road, whether it was before or after I went by or wherever. And I went in and preached because I had my sermon ready. And I know the safest place to be at times is just with God's people. It's just with this family that at times it's an escape from even your own family. I remember coming in and saying, we go through one worship song. I didn't tell anybody. And we go through one worship song. I told the worship leader, and then I'll get up and preach, and then I'm gone. No one knew why. And then after one song, Simon looked at me. I was like, keep going. Because I realized this is where I'm meant to be at this moment. This is the safest place in God's presence for me. And after I got up and preached, I preached on reaching people for Jesus. And if there's ever a morning to preach that one, that was it. Who are you taking to heaven? Who are you telling about heaven? Who's your desire to see them in heaven? Inspired by a homeless man that my daughter met that became a Christian in the lighthouse in town. And him and his girlfriend left the lighthouse with their Bibles and was reading it to each other that night in the doorway before where they were sleeping. And the next week he came in, he says to my daughter Erica, pointing at his friend, he says, my goal in life is to make sure he makes it to heaven with me. And out of that, I was like, we should all have that heart. Oh, Lord, give me that heart. If I haven't got it, just give me a Lord. That this man could be saved in 1 week and his only goal is to see his mate get to heaven. And I preached to him. And it was a morning time. It was a sad time. On the way up to the hospital after preaching, I realized that this was, not realized like I didn't know this, but this was my third brother to die from drug addiction. And the enemy was making me know that this, it was like I felt robbery all of a sudden. These young men that I've never even seen outside of the city, never gone on a holiday, never experienced things that I've got to experience, were gone robbed. And it was heavy and it was dark. And then obviously you do the funeral and you're with your family and you're telling stories. And of all the stuff that tormented me, was I did not know where my brother stood with God. I've known where my mom stood because I led her to the Lord. My dad, I led her to the Lord. My two brothers that died, I led to the Lord. But I had no connection, no recollection of anything with Mark in connection with the Lord. And that kept me awake. You couldn't believe. Night after night, I'd be awake 2, 3 in the morning just waiting to fall asleep. I didn't know where my brother was. And I was awake 1:29 a.m. and I get an inbox on Facebook from a girl from location in RD Street, Claudia. She says, Noel, I'm awake these nights. So I get up in the middle of the night to pray. My kids are asleep, my fella's asleep, or my husband's asleep, or the family's asleep. And she says, I was praying, not for anything particular. And God gave me a picture of you. And you have your head, you're sitting there with your head in your hands, like you're looking for answers, you're looking for something. And she says, now start praying in tongues. If you're not baptized in the Spirit and praying in tongues, I want to tell you, seek God. Seek Jesus. This is the greatest gift Jesus can give to us. It connects us in a way. It's for edifying ourselves. It's for building ourselves up. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, exercise speaking in tongues. When you're on your own, it's like plugging your phone into the wall. It's charging yourself up. It's building yourself up in your faith. It's making us strong. And she said she started praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And she says she started praying deeper in tongues, which probably means like louder or something, I don't know. But it was like she went from this level to a deeper level. And she says, over her mouth, over her spirit, the Holy Spirit starts speaking. Tell Noel Kenny, I have his brother with me. Tell Noel Kenny, I have his brother with me. And I read this at 1:29 a.m. and a peace of God came over me. Like washed all the gloom and the doom that was hanging over me. That I don't know when I would have moved onward. And then we'd already booked. Penny was going to Disneyland with Rob and Patrice. And it was already booked and got great 10 euro each way. God bless Ryanair. And we went. Penny and Rob. Well, Penny went and 15 of us went with her. It was crazy. Her saying hello to Minnie Mouse and we're all like, ah. 15 of us taking photographs. But I want to tell you, did we laugh at that trip? I want to tell you, like, I was howling until my throat was sore going down them roller coasters. I tell you, laughter is good medicine. And that's why he says, yet there's weeping. But he wants to release laughter. He wants to release joy. And I might be running around. My brother-in-law was with us. And he was like, he made me laugh so hard. Us laugh so hard that our sides were splitting from laughing in a hotel lounge where other people were coming in just to sit beside us to get involved in what was going on in this stupid game that we were playing. God wants to release laughter. He wants to take you from a time of weeping into a time of laughter. And he wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants to release something in your season, wherever you're at, into something greater and something that is like not just a standing still, but a laughter that's jumping. The word actually means, I looked it up this morning, the word for dancing is to dance, to jump, to leap, to skip. So it's not just a little. It's more like, yeah, can you believe it? You know what I mean? It's like, can you believe what just happened? You believe, I can't believe that God took me from there and now I have this, I have a spring in my step. I have a skip in my beat, I have a new walk, a new talk because God has taken me from this place to another place. I was just at my nephew's wedding 2 Fridays ago on my side and all my brothers and sisters were there. And it was the first marriage I officiated in my own family. So that was great, having my family there, and they'd never seen me officiate a wedding, and it was really, really privileged. Anyway, we danced the night away till about 3 a.m. I don't think I've recovered. We had a party for Becky, our girls had a party for Becky during the night in their house, and we danced the night away again. At the wedding, my nephew comes over, and I'm there with my brothers and sisters on the dance floor. And he leans into me, and he says, you know what, Noel, it's about time the Kennys had something to celebrate and to dance about. And it was nearly like a prophetic word. That as I was getting a hold of the Lord's heart for you this morning, he wants to say, it's about time you dance. It's about time you get up now and start laughing. He gives you permission to do so. And when you start dancing, you know what happens? Other people dance with you. And I've realized just something fresh and new. Even at Becky's little party the other night, there was a space in her sitting room that's like them 2 chairs. There must have been 8 people dancing in that little square. And I found myself going around to people that weren't into dancing, saying, come on, we dance. And dragging people up on the floor. And some resisted. Not right, Andy. Some resisted. Mags wouldn't resist, but. And some was like, I don't want to. And you take the hand and they get up to dance. Somehow your dancing sets other people's feet dancing. Somehow God releasing you, you now get permission. Or the people get permission just from you being released from your mourning. Because people go, if she can dance or he can dance, surely I can dance. Surely I can move. And God's a dancer. Or as they say in the flats, a Jack Palancer. God loves to dance. Zephaniah 3, he says that he rejoices over you with singing. That word rejoice means to spin, jump, leap, dance, move around very quickly. Jesus, when they came back from in Luke 9 and Luke 10, when they came back from casting out demons, seeing the kingdom come and healing the sick, it says Jesus looks to his Father and rejoices. The father and the prodigal son, when the brother comes and he says, what's all that singing and dancing about? He says, your father ordered it. God's a dancing God. God loves nothing more than to grab you and lift you up and spin you around. That word actually means rejoice, means to jump and to spin like this. I call it a spinneroonie. Got dizzy there for a minute. God wants to lift you up. He wants to show you how to dance. I remember saying to Sharon about God dancing. After reading about Jesus, like rejoicing, spinning around, it means like a violent turn, like with your hand in the air. You read it up, you look it up in the Greek. And I said to Sharon, the Father must dance. She says, why? Because Jesus said he only does what he sees his Father do. And in Zephaniah, he uses the exact same word. He rejoices. He's a spinning, dancing, loving father who loves to dance with his children. And he promises that he'll turn your mourning into dancing. And he does this a couple of weeks ago. I'm nearly finished. A couple of months ago, I was asked to go over to America to visit this girl who has come here for 4 years. She came with a group from West End Church that many know. And she came for 4 years. We got to know her and to love her. She got diagnosed with cancer. And she was fading away. What month was that? Like May or something? And so Rob and the team, we switched everything around to honor this girl for coming over to Ireland, and wherever I could do, I would do. And when I went over, this young, beautiful girl, 32 years of age, gave her life to help kids in traumatic situations through play therapy. And here she was, her hair barely grown back. Her arm was left like this because the tumor was here. And it was like up here, and it was like a hump. She says, no, when I look in the mirror, I'm like some hideous science fiction baddie. I remember the scar fell off her this part a bit, and it was roaring red, like violent red, this tumor was. And she was so angry at God, and she was weeping and mourning her future that she wasn't going to have unless God healed her, or what she's put into this. And she was really angry and disconnected from the Father and Son, and because felt awfully let down. And everything around her would say, yeah. And it's in them moments where it's hard to declare, but it's still true, that God is good. It's easy to say it when we're rejoicing and dancing. It's hard to express it when everything seems to be rotten around you. But God is the same always. Whatever he is, he's the same always. If he's bad, he's bad, because he never changes in character. But if he's good, if he's bad, he's that all the time. If he's good, he's that all the time. And he is good. And anyway, we walked through, we had communion. This is like 5 days, hours and hours together, walking through, talking through, telling story, laughing. And then the last day we went through everything. We broke bread together, had some worship music. Worshiped together, I broke bread. I read through the book of Hebrews, brought her through the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is greater than anything. And he's the same yesterday and forever. And the last thing I felt the Lord had put this in my heart to do was to dance with her. And, you know, I told you her arm was like this that morning in the mirror at my friend's house, Ed Kelly's. I was practicing in the bathroom how to do a waltz. And when we went through everything, I said, Abby, do you trust me? She says, of course I trust you, Noah. I says, will you give me this dance? And I put on a song. It's out of Bradford, England. And it says, your heart will heal. Your scars will mend. And you will dance again. And I put it on. And we got up and we danced around the living room. And there's a part in it that they just don't even say a word. They just go, la, 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 la. And I tell you, the presence of Jesus came. And I was like saying to her, just don't even think of me. This is your Father dancing with you. And I tell you, your Father wants to dance with you. He wants to take you. He wants to waltz you. He wants you to know that he's near and that his presence is there. And 5 days later, she went home to be with the Lord. But she didn't go angry. She didn't go mourning. She didn't go weeping. She went and she had the best dance partner this world has ever seen. He danced for her, and he wants to do the same for us. And there's a time of weeping, and there's a time of laughing, and there's a time of mourning, and there's a time of dancing. And God wants to minister to your heart, and he is, because I can see it in you. And he wants to tell you, now it's your time. Or he wants to tell you, hold on. Or he wants to say, gather. He wants whatever he wants to say to you. But you need to know there's a time of moving. And if he needs to get someone to get up in the middle of the night to pray to release you into your new season, he will do that. If he will get Ryanair to put the tickets down to €10 each to get you to a place of laughter, he will do that. Why? Because you're his. that he rejoices over you with singing, and things that have been said and done and judgments that have been against you. He is in the business of reversal of fortunes. He says in Zephaniah, I'll dance over you with singing. Why? Because I delight in you. And he says, here's this, I will restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. And Bray, this, as a town, we need to make sure we weep over this in God's heart, over this town. Because after weeping comes laughter. I'm saying, Lord, and I'm saying this to Gary and the prayer team and people that haven't even experienced being at the prayer meeting. Now God will give you a time of wailing and weeping for this place and letting you feel. But that's getting it prepared for the laughing season. He may allow us to mourn. I was only praying and thinking about this. That like I look at Dunleary and I look at Bray or Greystones again, and it seems to be buildings and prosperity. I was like, this place is being overlooked again, but we need to stand and say, no, that prosperity lands here in the name of Jesus. That the gloom and the mourning and the weeping that is on people in Bray has to lift in the name of Jesus. Very quick story. In Argentina in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, well, 80s, up to the 80s, there was missionaries in Argentina. It was called the Graveyard of Missionaries. 50 years of toiling, they've seen about 500 people come to the Lord in the whole country. The one missionary gets before the Lord and says, Lord, what's going on here? And a long story short, that the Lord says to him, I want you to do something for me. And he says, what is the Lord? He said, I want you to, he said, let me get it. He says to the missionary, cry for me, Argentina. Remember they brought out the musical of Eva Perón. What was that called? What was the song in that? Don't cry for me, Argentina. It was nearly in opposition to what God had said into the nation. And it said in the books that 10 weeks of weeping and mourning came upon the church. They were saying that they could never imagine that the amount of tears could be in someone's eye ducts that was coming out. Mourning and weeping over these people, wailing over the people. It's like God allowed them to feel the weight of what was going on in the whole town. And then one night God says, he says, refrain from weeping. I have took down the prince over Argentina. And the missionaries, when it was spoken, the missionaries started hiding out. There was a place that held 65,000 people, like the Aviva Stadium. And they hired it out. And hundreds of thousands of people came to know the Lord within them couple of weeks. Hundreds of thousands of people. That Argentina was known as a graveyard. It was known for its idolatry and witchcraft and debauchery. It was known for all of these things. And yet, when God said to the people, it's time to mourn, it's time to wail, it's time to weep. And then God says, now the weeping is over, the time is over. But now we're moving into a new season. And I'm praying, Lord, let us, whatever season we're in, because people have cried over Bray, have wept over Bray, and there's a time of dancing. And I'm saying, Lord, if you want us to get into that place, well, we're yours. Because a new season is upon it. I didn't give this word to you tonight, but I felt the Lord saying he's going to ramp things up and break. He's going to ramp it up. And what we need to do with any ramp, you need to run. You need to jump. You go, Lord, I'm with you. I'm whatever you're doing. That's what I want. So let's pray. Amen.